The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
So, Lent is a season of prayer and fasting and reflection, but right in the middle of this penitential season, the church gives us a moment to lift up our eyes for what lies ahead. The name Lectere comes from the Latin word meaning to rejoice. It's a reminder that Lent calls us to repentance, but it also points forward to the joy of Easter. Even in the midst of sacrifice, the promise of the resurrection is already drawing near. So you'll notice that the deep violet of Lent gives way for one Sunday to rose vestments. It's a softer color that symbolizes hope and joyful anticipation. It's the church's quiet way of saying, we are halfway there. Please rise and sing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I am a poor miserable sinner. Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of holy business and bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner for me.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her. That you may nurse and be satisfied from her counseling breasts. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be with you. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breasts. You have the 20 questions in your bulletin? Okay. Let's review the 20 questions and their answers. Question one, do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe it. I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and his pleasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation.
Do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God and man.
How many gods are there?
Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of sins.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, and as is the Holy Spirit, but the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituted in the sacrament, and by his body and blood, we believe that's the pledge in the sacrament.
What are the words of institution?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread and made it in the thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take heed, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to him, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood."
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember him proclaiming his death and the shedding of his blood, as he taught us. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
First, so that we may learn to believe that no creature could make satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, could do that. Second, so we may learn to be horrified by our sins and to regard them as their seriousness. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone and to be faith in him to save.
What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins?
It is great love for his Father and for me and other sinners. As it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, the whole command and the promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given.
What should we do if we are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, you should touch his body to see if he is or has flesh and blood. Then you should read what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7.
Second,
you should look around and see whether he is still in the world. And remember that there will be no lack of sin nor trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15, 16, and in 1 John 2 and 5. Third, you will still have the devil also crossing from him, who is lying in our
scriptures pictured in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 5, and 2 Timothy 2.
The Old Testament reading for Laetari is written in the 16th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 2. The whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quail came upon at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's needs, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it out by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. And some of them left part of it until the morning, and they grabbed worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And then when the sun came out, it was hot, and it melted. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. But I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers." Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 21. "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he who of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. which is the mother of us all, for it is written, "Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she has a husband." Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him born of the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir of the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion,
which cannot be moved, and abides forever.
As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people.
From this time forth and forevermore, peace be upon Israel.
The Holy Gospel is written in the sixth chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these to eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every man may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there is much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This truly is the prophet who has come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God and very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from God and the Son,
with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
sermon is based off on Galatians 4, our epistle reading, and born according to the Spirit. You are children of the promise. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? St. Paul writes this to the Christians in Galatia, who had been persuaded by false teachers that they had to fulfill the works of the law in order to be true Christians. By works of the law, they meant circumcision, the observance of Sabbaths and festivals, and the distinction of meats. Of course, the Apostle Paul pointed out to them that if they were obligated to keep part of the law, they must keep the whole law. Paul also taught them that no one will be justified before God by works of the law, because through the law comes knowledge of sin. You see, the law reveals your sin, because all it can do is tell you what to do. But the law cannot give you the power to do it. So those who seek to be righteous before God by works of the law instead find that they are worse and worse sinners. Dear saints in Christ, to explain this lesson further, the Apostle Paul uses the allegory from the book of Genesis. Now the Jews called the book of Genesis, along with the other four books of Moses, the law. Which is why Paul asks, do you not listen to the law? So from the law, Paul draws this allegory, namely this story, which draws a picture to teach the difference between being under the law and being under the gospel. He compares it to the two sons of Abraham, one born of a slave woman and the other born of a free woman. Now you might remember that in the book of Genesis, God promised Abraham that he would give him a son, that he would make him into a great nation out of this son, and give him the land of Canaan, and that through this son, all nations of the earth would be blessed. The problem was, Abraham was very old, and also his wife Sarah was very old. And she had always been barren. So Sarah, desiring the promise to be fulfilled, but not believing that it was possible to be fulfilled through her aged and barren womb, gave her servant Hagar to Abraham as a wife to bear him a son. Hagar indeed bore Abraham a son. But this son was born according to the flesh, not according to the promise. God indeed fulfilled his promise. Sarah, Abraham's wife, bore Isaac, the child of promise. According to the flesh and blood, this was impossible. I mean, Sarah was too old. Sarah was barren. But according to God's promise, it was possible. Now, in Abraham's household, there were two sons. One born according to the flesh, and one born according to the promise. And the one born according to the flesh persecuted the one born according to the promise. So Sarah ordered Abraham to cast the slave woman out with her son. And God told Abraham to obey her. The slave shall not inherit with the freeborn. Through Isaac shall Abraham's offspring be named. How does this relate to you? Because all Christians are born both of a slave woman and of a free woman. Specifically, you are born according to the flesh and according to the Spirit. Everyone born of the flesh, which is the entire human race, is born under sin and under the law. That means that you are all born into slavery. Nevertheless, through Jesus Christ, You have access to the second birth, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, explicitly according to the promise. Through the promise attached to the waters of baptism and the proclamation of the gospel, you are born from above. Faith alone receives the promise. So through faith in the promise, you are children of the promise, Abraham's heirs, and children of the free woman. According to your first birth of the flesh, you can never become righteous. This means you can never attain eternal life. To be born of the flesh is to be born under sin and under the law. It is impossible to reach eternal life through works of the law, because the law depends on your flesh doing it. But your flesh is sinful, and it is weak. Thus you fail. So instead of the law giving you eternal life, the law condemns you to hell, and it kills you. This is why Jesus says that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Your first birth according to the flesh binds you in sin, and it keeps you from inheriting eternal life. But your second birth by the Spirit is a birth according to the promise, which is received through faith. This birth frees you from the law, because Christ Jesus took the curse of the law away from you himself. He did this by being born in your human flesh. Scripture declares to you that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus became your flesh so that he could do what you're weakened by your own flesh could not do, fulfill the law. St. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." The law cannot give you eternal life, because your sinful flesh is incapable of accomplishing what the law requires of you. That is why it says that the law was weakened by the flesh. So God's Son took on your human flesh for you. Nevertheless, despite the fact that he fulfilled the requirements of the law for you, he suffered the punishment your sinful flesh deserved. The Apostle Paul explained this very thing in his letter to the Christians in Galatia. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" And so you receive Christ's obedience and righteousness through faith, because Christ has both fulfilled the law for you and has been punished for your transgressions against the law in your place. Since Christ has done all that is required for your eternal salvation, no works are required of you. Rather, you become God's children and heirs through faith alone. Still, the Apostle Paul says, "Just as at the time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him, was born according to the Spirit, so also is it now." But what does the Scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." Nevertheless, how does the child born according to the flesh persecute the child born according to the Spirit? The child born according to the flesh is your old sinful nature, also known as your old Adam. Although you are born from above by the Spirit through faith in the promise, that old sinful Adam born of the flesh still hangs around and persecutes your new self. Well, how does it persecute you? First, by leading you into sin. Scripture is very clear. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So despite what you've been accused of, you do not believe that the Spirit has set you free to indulge in the sins of the flesh. Rather, whenever you present yourself into inobedience, you become a slave to that thing. If you obey the passions of the flesh, then you become a slave and cease to be a child of freedom. To be born of the Spirit means that you also walk by the Spirit, not under the compulsion of the law, but by willingly doing as your Father in heaven pleases. But your sinful flesh persecutes your new self by drawing you back into these same sins of which you are ashamed, of which you would like to be free of once and for all. The second way the old Adam, born of the flesh, persecutes the new self, born of the Spirit, is by trying to enslave you under the law. He does this by getting you to try to establish your own righteousness by works of the law. Nevertheless, this just pushes you deeper into slavery. Your flesh cannot accomplish the works of the law. So instead of escaping your sins, you are pulled away from the righteousness of God given to you by promise, and into either despair or false confidence in your works of the flesh. St. Paul addresses this to the Galatians in chapter 2. Let me ask you only this, he writes. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Nevertheless, this is exactly what your sinful flesh tries to convince you of, and what many people believe. They think that after the Spirit sets them free through faith, they must complete what the Spirit began through their own works. So they trust in their works, as if the Spirit is of no value to them anymore. And so in these two ways, by the sinful passions of the flesh, and by attempting to earn God's favor through works of the law, the old self persecutes your new self. The child of slavery persecutes the child born of promise. And of course, both of these ways of persecution are rooted in unbelief, because the natural person cannot believe in the gospel. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So then what is the solution? How can you be liberated from the persecution of the flesh? Scripture answers you. Cast out the slave woman and her son. How can you cast out the slave woman and her son? By repenting of your sins and by believing in the promise of Christ. You must cast out the slave woman and her son every single day, because your flesh tries to enslave you to your sinful passions every single day. You must cast out the slave woman and her son every single day because your flesh will try to enslave you by the law every single day, as if you earned your salvation by your own works. Only by repenting of your sins and believing that God considers you righteous for Christ's sake can you be free from the curse of the law and your sins. Your saints in Christ, your flesh is loud and obnoxious. It wants its needs to be heard above everything else. Just look at Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. Before the crowd stands the living bread of heaven, who gives eternal salvation to all who believe his words. But these men want to make him a bread king to feed their bellies. It's like this curious creature, the cowbird. It's notorious for laying eggs in other birds' nests, so that these unsuspecting birds feed the large, loud, and demanding cowbird chick while their own chicks starve. The mother bird is smart and realizes that it's not her egg and pushes the cowbird's egg outside the nest so that her own chicks do not starve. That's what you need to do. You are not children of the slave. You're children of the free woman. You need to cast out the slave so that he does not starve out the free child. This can only be done by repenting of your sins and in faith clinging to Christ, who makes you free, born of the children of God. Amen. And all the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you.
pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O God of mercy, although we merit only punishment, you give abundantly for every need. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, provide us with every physical gift our bodies need in this earthly life, and every heavenly blessing our souls need in life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, after the holy example of your Son Jesus Christ, inspire all pastors to devout care for their people and a continual desire to feed them the bread of life. Awaken in the hearts of our congregational mutual love for this faithful service in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you blessed barren Sarah with Isaac, the child of promise, and brought salvation to the world through Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. Watch over the families of your church and comfort those families yet without children, that all together may find joy in their heavenly inheritance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant mercy, O Lord, to all our leaders, to Donald, our president, Tim, our governor, all legislatures and civil servants, those who work for the common good, those who must render judgment and impose punishment upon lawbreakers, and all who work for peace among the nations. We especially ask you to watch over and guard and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Rebecca, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, our shepherd, protect, comfort, and guide all those who call upon you in need, especially Griffin, Barb, Pat, Eric, Mike, Robin, Carol, Arlen, Jamie, Richard, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Wally, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Grant healing and peace that they may continue to serve you with joy in this life and finally come to the good land in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless John continually by your word and spirit, that he may faithfully keep the covenant into which he has been called, boldly confess his Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you provided food from heaven for the Israelites during their days of wandering in the wilderness. So give us also the true food of heaven, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be sustained in our faith and in hope during the days of pilgrimage through this wilderness of this world until finally we behold your glory with our own eyes. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
In sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. True body of Christ, given to God for your sin. Take, this is the true body of Christ, given to God for your sin.
given to death for your son. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please rise as we continue with Nunc Dimittis. Beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Thank you.
So tomorrow we have Minnesota River Confessionals meeting at 10 o'clock. Tuesday we have Sister Quakers at 10. I will be down at the Penn City Strength of its politicians and other things. Wednesday we have 2 o'clock service here. We have confirmation at 3:45, and then 5:30 is lunch, 7 o'clock is service. Thursday is game day out at Emmanuel, 2 o'clock, 2 to 4. And I think that's it. Have a blessed week and God's grace.